We just thank you for your word. As it was mentioned this morning about the scarcity of it overseas and the opportunities that people are now having to get it, Lord, we are indeed blessed that we have it so readily available among us. Lord, we pray that as we open this morning that you would indeed challenge us, that we would indeed be attuned to anything that you have for us this morning, and that we would make the changes that you ask us to, Lord, that we would be humble, and that we would be willing to do just that. We pray these things in your name. Amen. I found a job description this week that was rather humorous. I thought I'd share it with you this morning. This particular description that says they're asking for long-term team players needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication skills and organization skills, be willing to work variable hours, which may include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends, endless sports tournaments to away cities. Travel expenses are not reimbursed, and extensive courier duties are also required. Responsibilities, the rest of your life. Must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs $5. Must be willing to bite your tongue repeatedly, go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, in case this time the person crying wolf, it's not just someone in the backyard crying wolf. Must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. Possibility for advancement and promotion, none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience, none required, unfortunately, on-the-job training offered on a continual, exhausting basis. Wages and compensation, you pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonuses, a balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college help will come from you. When they die, you give whatever is left to them. Benefits, while no health insurance or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, no stock options are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life. The job description of a parent. We've been discussing men and women, more specifically the marriage relationship as a whole. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's where we're going to begin this morning. Scripture actually gives us job descriptions for husbands and for wives, oddly enough. It gives us what God desires and requires of us as husbands and wives. And he has laid that out. This morning I'm going to be speaking just to men. Ladies, I will get to you in a couple of weeks. However, that does not mean because I'm speaking to them that you can tune the message out. There are several things that apply not primarily just to men, but also to us as a whole in relating to one another. And as we go through this morning, men, I'm going to be asking this question frequently. Men, do you qualify for the job? As we go through this list of different requirements. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, we find this first position, man as the servant leader. 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul writes these words. He says, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ." He's speaking of authority here. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. There's authority. There's leadership there. Man is to lead the woman. But the authority given to him is from Christ. He is under that authority. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. "Yet your desire will be for your husband," speaking of the wife, "and he will rule over you. And we'll get to that verse in a little bit. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and verse 12 say the similar thing. He must be one who manages his household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. All these verses speaking about the fact that man, as a husband, you have authority and you are the leader of your home. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 27. In this particular passage, Jesus is at the Passover supper with his disciples. And the disciples are arguing and disputing over which one of them is greater among them. And he gives them this answer. Verse 27, "For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." In ancient Israel, this is sort of the scene that they're portraying. I know some of these pictures aren't ancient Israel, but it's a similar scene as to what he's speaking about. The one sitting at the table, reclining at the table, the one of higher social status, and the one serving of the lower social status. And Jesus is saying, "I am Lord, and yet I am one who is serving. And you should also be doing so." John chapter 13, verses 1 through 12, a familiar passage to many of us. The background is the Passover supper, and Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. And when the supper, he's washing the feet of the disciples, showing them by his example, taking the job that was reserved for the lowest servant within the household to wash the feet. That he himself as Lord is washing his disciples' feet. He is the leader, and yet he is serving. And men, as the leaders of our home, that's what we are to be. We are to be leaders, but we're also to be servants to our wives and to our children. Under this topic of leadership, we often encounter three different types of and manners in which men lead. Some of them not very good. Another one is great. We have the authoritarian husband, the permissive husband, and the authoritative husband. The authoritarian husband takes us back to that Genesis 3:16 passage in which God tells the husband that he is to rule over his wife. But man takes it to the extent that he is abusing that power that God has given him. Abusing that position of leadership. A husband who demands absolute obedience to his every command and every whim. He is ruling in a bad sense, abusing his power. He is strict, demanding, controlling, rigid, repressive. He is essentially a dictator of his home. The other husband, the permissive, goes on the flip side of this coin in Genesis 3:16. The wife's desire to rule or to usurp the control of the husband, so to speak. That's not always the case, but perhaps the man is more permissive because he doesn't want to get in quarrels or arguments with his wife and rather would let her lead. Perhaps it's just a situation where as a man, you just simply don't want to do it for lack of a better term, you're just lazy to. This person is tolerant and lax, neglectful, and out of all things is selfish because he wishes to avoid conflict instead of leading his home. The last of these, the authoritative husband. This is the one I believe is more speaking of what we find in what the examples of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. If you would turn there, we're going to be spending a little bit of time there this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 30, and verse 4 of chapter 6. These passages this passage, we find that the husband is exhorted that he is the head of the home, but also he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He is to instruct his children in the instruction of the Lord. He is to lead his home. This is a man who is open to communication with his wife. He is willing to listen to her opinions, what she has about the situation at hand. He recognizes that, yes, he has authority over the home, but he himself is under the authority of Christ. That authority has been given to him. He leads out of love. He leads by example in his home. He is reliable, trustworthy, respectful, respected and respectful. He is solid, dependable, confident, and firm. He is essentially a servant leader. And I ask you, men, that as a servant leader, how can you be serving your wife today? How can you be serving her as you lead her? And do you qualify for the job? This is one requirement. How are you meeting up to that? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 28, we find the second principle, the fact that the man is also the lover of his wife. Ephesians verse 25 of chapter 5 says this, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church." Christ, or rather the Apostle Paul, refers back to Christ and the picture of love that Christ gives. The picture of his love towards the church. A sacrificial love. A love that was given to the undeserving. A love that had our benefit in mind and not his own. In the context, husbands, we are to love wives even when they seem undeserving, when they seem unloving. We're to love her conditionally. This is a choice. While love is a feeling, yes, we cannot base love solely on feelings, because if that was the case, then we would love them only when it was desirable to love them. We must choose to do this as well. In the context of this, and what Paul is preaching to the Ephesians, this was something that rather startled the men of that time. This flew in their face against their heavy-handed and demeaning attitudes towards their wives. It was against the cultural norm at the time. But Scripture is never with the cultural norm. It always goes against the grain. And we as men need to be living against that grain, against the grain of our culture, and doing what Scripture says, and loving our wives in this sacrificial manner. And the action of loving that Paul gives here in what he describes with this verb is this is to be a continual action. It's not to go while you're dating your wife, and then once you get married, and then it just ceases to exist. This is something that is to continue until you die. An ongoing process. We notice as well the person who receives the love in this passage, your wife. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 12 gives the requirements for a deacon and an elder, but I believe they really apply and should be lived out by every man. He says the man is to be a husband of one wife. Literally, the translation is there, you are to be a one-woman man. That's it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, we know that passage fairly well. You have heard it said, "You shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You are to be a one-woman man, mentally, physically, and spiritually. In every aspect of, on every level of your life, no other woman should be receiving your attention, your adoration, your time, your energy, or your resources more than your wife. No other woman. Not a co-worker, not a friend, not even your mother, or even any source of media. We are to be one woman men. We are also to mimic Christ's example of love. The sacrificial example, the giving of Himself for the church so that it might not be lost. How do I love my wife sacrificially though? As I was studying this week, the point was proven to me that was I thought was rather true. So that many men will plan for weeks and spend tons of money on things like fishing trips, football games, snowmobiling, or things like hunting. Just getting together with the buddies. What about our wives though? What time and resources are we sacrificing for her? And I've heard this response before too. "Well, I put in a hard 8 hours of work. How much more can she expect? I'm bringing home the bacon, bringing home the money." Yes, that communicates love to her, but there are so many other ways which communicate love so much more. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 through 29 says, "Husbands, love your wives as you love your own body." Normally a man uses a lot of time, puts a great deal of thought and effort and money into taking care of himself. Is that same time, thought, effort, and resources put into the relationship with your wife? Perhaps the question comes then, but how do I love my wife though? She didn't come with an owner's manual, so to speak. I can't figure her out. Well, here are some examples from ladies here at Grace Bible Church. Examples of how you can love them. Letting her be involved in making decisions. Letting her know what's going on and asking for her opinion in things. Listening to her opinions. Helping her with housework. Washing the dishes. Maybe cleaning up, vacuuming, putting clothes away, doing laundry. Making sure that her needs are met, physically and emotionally. Taking her out to eat when she is sick of cooking, maybe even cooking a meal yourself. Talking with her about no subject in particular. Learning from her what her passions and desires and dreams and hopes are. Maybe even opening up and expressing your own to her. Refusing to compare her with other people, especially other women. Giving her praise and adoration. Showing her courtesy and chivalry. And telling her that you love her often. I was in a situation, a discussion one time about a man was asked about when was the last time he told his wife that he loved her. He says, "Well, I told her I loved her when I got married." Well, yes, but she needs to hear it more than just once or twice a week. She wants to hear it from you. When a husband begins to sacrifice some of his time, when he begins to sacrifice his energy, his thought, especially for your wife, this need for that love is being fulfilled. We are indeed loving her. The question comes again though, men, do we qualify for the job though? Are we being servant leaders? Are we loving our wives in the manner that we ought to? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. So we find the third principle this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. We find the principle of the learner. Another list of the job requirements, or the requirements for taking the job, so to speak. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Living with your wife in an understanding way literally means to study her. One aspect of that is to actively listen to her. I happen to be a fan of the Red Green Show. I don't know how many of you know what that show is. My mother thinks it's rather stupid, but but one episode gave a very good illustration of how not to actively listen. The men were gathered around in sort of a quorum thing, and speaking to each other about new discoveries that they had found. And the man says that he was talking with his wife. And anyway, as he began talking with her, he allowed his mind to wander and began, you know, searching through, well, where did I place my six iron? And then he just found out where he had done that. And he remembered how to rewire something, a project that he was working on, and remembered one of the three stooges that him and another buddy were discussing about and couldn't think of. And his comment at the end of it was that he had gotten his best thinking done while he was talking to his wife. And then he couldn't wait to talk to her again to get some more great thinking done. That is not how to actively listen to your wives. That is not what that means. Actively listening perhaps means turning off the television. It's more than the yeah, that's nice comments as you're staring at the screen and she's talking to you in one ear. It involves making eye contact with her. Asking her questions to clarify what she is meaning. Maybe even repeating back to her what she is saying so that she knows that you understand what she is meaning and what she is talking about. It involves studying her. Her temperament, her emotions, her personality, her thought patterns, who she is. One man had commented that a husband's primary responsibility in marriage is indeed caring for his wife. And that caring requires understanding. He says, if you're married, what is your wife's greatest need? He says, you don't know? Ask her. What are her greatest concerns? Don't know? Ask her. What are her hopes and dreams? What new areas would she like to explore? Are you keeping up with her over the years? Because her answers will enable you to understand her better and to care for her more effectively. And this, again, that this thought of living with her in an understanding way carries the principle, again, of doing it continuously. This is not just, as we discussed in men's fraternity one session, not just at the moment when you're dating your wife and finding out all about her, and then when you get married, it's like, well, I'm married, it doesn't matter anymore. It's beyond that. This is to be continuous within our lives. Because the reality is that she does change over time. Her likes and dislikes change. A firm example of this, I was reading a book this week, and a man gave a very, very good example of this. He said he was at the convenience store filling up his car with gas, getting ready to go on a trip during their first year of marriage. She had asked him to get her something to drink while he was inside paying for the gas. And so he had remembered and had been listening that she liked Diet Pepsi. So he went to the refrigerated section, opened up the door, and found Tab. I don't know what Tab is. I'm sure some of you do. And he said, well, he remembered as well that she hated Tab. So he kept going down the line. Finally, he found Diet Pepsi. He was so proud that he found Diet Pepsi. So he paid for it, paid for his gas, got out to the car, was all confident and prideful that he had done this for his wife, and he was met with disappointment. He says, "But I thought you liked Diet Pepsi." She says, "Well, I do, but I was kind of preferring Tab today." She says, "And now that I think about it, I'm actually starting to prefer Tab more than Diet Pepsi." She changes men. As a husband, you need to make sure that you're keeping up with who she is. As well, each woman is different. They may be of the same gender. They may have the same feminine characteristics that come with that, but that she is not the same as every other woman. And I'm sure you've heard that she is definitely not the same as your mother. It is your job to find out what her distinctives are, her differences, what makes her tick. I discovered this week that some women don't like roses. I did not know that. My wife absolutely loves them, so I did not know that some women don't like flowers, but see, you need to keep up on things. The question comes, though, I'm sure for many of them, but where do I begin? Where do I start? This may seem overwhelming. We can begin with asking her questions. It's taking time and setting apart time to get to know her better. To find out what is on her mind and in her heart. What kind of questions do we start with? The suggestion from many was that you start off with ones that focus upon you. Focus upon how you might be a better husband to her. And how you might improve the relationship upon your part. Because as you show this act of humility on your part towards her, she may open up more and reveal and how she might change as well. Questions like this: if you could change three things about me that would make me more Christ-like, what would they be? Do I have any annoying mannerisms? Things that irritate you that you would like to see me change? An often clue when this happens is she will tell you to stop it. How does it make you feel when I blank name something that displeases her? What goes through your mind when I dot 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 leave the question open, you fill in the blank there. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate our marriage? And then with a follow-up question to that, what would it take to make our marriage a 10? What is your opinion about? What personal goals do you have for your life that I can help you achieve? The last one. Do you have any needs or desires that you believe that I ought to be meeting or fulfilling better? And what are they? And perhaps if she has a suggestion asking what her opinion, how might you indeed do that? My challenge for this week for you, men, take some time. Set apart some time this week to actually sit down eye to eye, TV off, talking with your wife. Take some time even asking some of the very same questions that I mentioned this morning in order to study her and to get to know her better. Take that time. Now we've come to the end. And the question comes again, do we qualify for the job, men? Do we qualify for the job? Are you meeting the expectations that God desires of you to be the best man, the best husband that you can be to your wife? How have you been an example of a servant leader to her lately? Are you leading the home physically and spiritually? How can you wash her feet, serve her even today, even after we leave this building? What is a way in which you can serve her? Are you loving her with a sacrificial love that is looking at her needs above your own? Are you studying her to find out what makes her tick, her likes, her dislikes? Are you asking her opinion? Sure that she has value to you. I'm sure many of us have work to do. I know I've only been married 6 months, and I know I have things that I could be working on, things that I can improve. And as we leave this morning, will we take that initiative though? Will we act as we leave? Or will we simply forget what happened even this morning before supper time? I challenge you to be the husband that God desires. Be a servant leader. Be a lover. And be a learner. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that as husbands, that you have commanded us to be leaders of our home. You have commanded us to love our wives sacrificially and to live with her in an understanding way. Where we know that sometimes that's not always easy. We know times we get tired. We pray that you would grant us strength. We pray that you would bring to remembrance throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, these things, these principles from your word. That we would indeed put them into practice, Lord. Pray that you would guide our marriages, that you would help us strengthen them, that we would be examples to the world of what it means to be Christian husbands, to be Christian men, what it means to indeed have a Christian marriage. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen.